Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Thank everyone, and take you on a journey here in a few minutes. coming to you once again, live and in living color on your radio dial. I don't know, Bob Hope may have been the one that originated that to begin with, back years and years ago, but we appreciate that we have the opportunity to come into your living room, dining room, or wherever you may be here on these Thursday mornings at 9 o'clock with the Clay County Corner. And we do make this a habit every Thursday morning at 9 with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock. And then these shows get streamed on the Del Hall Horizon newspaper site a few days after we have them here on the radio. So lots of opportunities to listen to this. And we hope it's interesting enough until quite a few people may be listening. We need to purposely make some kind of mistake so we can find out. That's the way we can kind of survey things. If we mess up, we know maybe somebody will call us and tell us, and the more that call us, we'll know we're getting out there better. But we enjoy this each Thursday morning. And, of course, with the help of the Three-Star Committee, the Chamber of Commerce, and all the good merchants and folks here in and around the courthouse that make this possible by spending their dollars to advertise on this radio show. And we hope that'll encourage you to spend your dollars at their place of business. I know things have been kind of busy here in Salina the last little bit. It seems like there are more people stopping than usual. Down at the bakery, I think they've done about sold out everything here on Thursday morning early on. And I know the little restaurants down there's gone country. They've had quite a few people in and out. Of course, we've had changes in ownership.
Right, I knew that.
And down at Gone Country, and I think out at Dorsey's restaurant. The Cunningham, they took it over, so, and seemed like we were getting quite a few people, and I do know the folks out at the Del Holla Getaway, I know their management, they come over and get them donuts and stuff in the morning, and they encourage their folks to come over and walk through town, so, and seems like a lot of the folks that are heading up to Del Holla are kind of slowing down a little bit more as they come through town, not just to stop and let the log trucks go by, but actually get out and walk around a little bit. And once again, it is tourism time here in Clay County.
A lot of people from up camping below the dam come into town.
Now they come down and buy their groceries and things like that.
Because I know a lot of them come into Johnny's shop, you know, and everything.
And I do know that I ventured up to Lilydale yesterday, and Lilydale is full. And, I mean, just folks are here. They're all around us. We just got to get some way to get them to stop more often. We may have to start having roadblocks or something.
Right.
And direct them around the square and right. About. But we've got Miss Mary Lloyd Reno here with me this morning, and we're going to talk first off about the celebration coming up here in a little bit. And we might talk about the car show a little bit. That's down in September. We've got some things to do. But I think, first off, we'll take a little time off here, catch our breath, get ready, and prepare our scripts and everything, and get ready for this. And we'll be right back in a few minutes.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here on this nice, sunshiny morning here at the old clerk's office at the Clay County Courthouse. If you've been around the courthouse any time the last little bit, you've noticed a few of the windows are missing out of the courthouse. We have those up in Lexington getting restored. We'll be talking sometime a little bit later on about a program. But if you want to help out with this, you can join in and get together with some of your family members or whatever, and you can actually adopt one of these windows in here. And these adoption papers will be forever memorialized on a window here in the old Clay County Courthouse, and maybe be around for another 150 years to folks to drive by and say, hey, I know that name. That's Mary Lloyd Reynolds. Seemed like I remember my great-great-grandma talking about her.
She must have been an awful nice person.
Well, she may have been.
That may have been. You can and that length of time, you can say anything you want to.
Yeah.
Or now, any time.
Yeah. Mary Lloyd, it's good to have you with us.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm just glad to. I didn't...
You know, people are coming, hey, it's glad to see you. I say, well, it's glad to be seen.
Right.
On this side of the green.
Right.
Well, I know you, I guess, especially you want to come in this morning and talk a little bit about the celebration coming up here before long.
Right. The museum, because of COVID last year, we didn't get to have any fundraising event to keep our museum going. And didn't know until April that we could even be able to have something this year. So what we're readapting, because, you know, times change and things you've been doing in the past, you've got to upgrade and try to do something better for the people, and so they'll have a better experience at this. And instead of having homecoming this year, we're having just the Clay County Festival, Museum Festival. And it's just a one-day event. It's still on the first weekend in August, which will be on the 7th this year, and we're having a lot of the same stuff. It's just going to be kind of compacted down into one day. Of course, we're having one of our big things, our fundraiser, is the duck race, and so tickets are on sale. I know the Town Square Antiques got them, any member of the board's got them, and we'll be coming around to sell to you, so get ready to buy your duck ticket. We're also having the cakewalk. We're also having they're going to have the car show out at the old high school,
right,
like they've always done. We're going to have booths around the square, and we're going to have the during the middle of the day, we're going to have the karaoke singing here on the square, and then at night we'll have Crossfire, who is one of the bands that's been with us for maybe 15 years playing ever since we've had one of these. And all the money that we raise on this is to support the museum, because that's the only way we raise money is with this and other events that we have. We're not supported by any local government or any, you know, anything. So, but we do have people that we call benefactors who donate to us each year, and a benefactor is somebody who just supports something. And so we're trying to get that program, we've had that program going for a while, which has really been a help to us. And because, you know, as you You well know that your pocketbook doesn't go as far as it did. Well, a museum's doesn't either. So we're just trying to get everything ready. If you've got any questions, you can call and leave a message at the museum. We got an answer machine out there. I usually come by every day or so to pick up the messages and stuff. So if you need to get a hold of anybody, or you can get me. Everybody in God Green Earth's got my telephone number, cell phone, so just call away if you can find it out from anybody.
Well, you know, I've noticed that my pocketbook is staying about the same, but the folks residing in it seem like they're shorter term residents.
Right.
Than they were at one time.
Right. But we'd like them. You know, it's just gonna be a one day thing. It'll open up, you know, like 8 o'clock in the morning. We've not set the definite times yet for every event, but that's what we're working on now and everything. So if you're interested in being a vendor or anything, just calls. Let me tell you who my board is.
That's what I was going to ask you about.
I have the people right here around the square that are on the board with me. One is Misty Grace, who's at Jimmy White's office. Susan Birdwell, who's the circuit court clerk. Renee Davis, who is the clerk and master. Carol Abney, who's got CPA here.
Right.
And myself. And Teresa Nivens, she's been on our board ever since. She used to work at the bank here. And when they moved her over to Lafayette, they said, well, how's she going to operate? I said, we got to keep her on the board because she works for the bank. So if there's ever any problem, we can always get to her and everything. So any of these people, or just give a shout out to somebody and we'll get you. We've had tickets on sale since the first of the month, so just give us a holler.
You getting the ducks all lined up?
Oh yeah, we got the ducks lined up.
Well, maybe you need to bring in one of them border collies that herded the ducks into the hula hoop ring over there.
Yeah.
Make that part of it.
Yeah.
Have a duck herd and a duck race.
Well, it's kind of hard. You know, somebody asked me one time, well, how does this duck race work? And there was a bunch of my friends standing around, and they said, you mean you don't know? And they said, Mary Lloyd, tell them. And I thought, well, these people don't understand about a duck race, you know, on the water. So I said, well, it's like this. I've got friends who raise these little ducks every year. And they get me up all this bunch of little ducks and everything. We put little strings around them, put numbers on them and everything. And I send them up the river by somebody, and then all at once, we turn them loose, and the first one to fly over the bridge down here and me shoot it down, that's the winner. And some of these people say, is that really the truth? Well, it's not. Of course, we use the little plastic ducks. I do gather the ducks up and take them up the river and put them out. It's according to how fast the river runs, where I go and when I let them out. Then the first one that gets to the bridge wins $1,000. Now, this is just like a donation to the museum. The duck tickets are $10 a piece, but we've been doing this for, well, I've been back doing it since 06, 07, I guess. So we've got it pretty refined down how to do that.
What was the mortality rate on them ducks? Do you?
Which ones? The ones that shot first? Well, you know, sometimes, one time we were having it, and some darn boat came up the river and ran through them and everything. We like to never found those ducks. Somebody found some down at Granville and gave them to me because they knew where it came from, or brimstone or someplace. But we usually, for the last several years, we've not lost a duck.
That's good news.
Yeah, well, we give the number, whoever wins, we give them that duck and everything. So we always have had a few new extra ones to renumber and everything, but we've been very lucky.
Well, we can kind of put that in maybe with the same thing, you know, like here with Clay County. We have never had a train wreck fatality here in Clay.
You know, that's exactly right. I can't understand that.
No.
I've been looking for the train tracks ever since I was born. And I was born before you was.
But we weren't born yesterday.
No, we were not. We were not.
And we may be in the dark, but it wasn't last night.
That's exactly right. Just like I can remember when the lake wasn't here. You barely can.
Well, I Well, not a whole lot of it, but some of it, because I'd have been about 5'4", I guess, 48.
Yeah. Well, it was filled up in 42.
Yeah.
And that's when I started going on it and everything, so
you know,
who
I
knows?
Know, I know the man my dad worked for years and years, Mr. Cordell Carter out in Mala. I know he got the contract at all three of the local reservoirs around here to clear
the land
there. And I think he always taught me he worked all three of them. He had Center Hill, and of course I can remember Center Hill because we moved over there when I was 4 years old.
Well, and it was the second dam built on the Cumberland.
And he also worked up at Wolf River.
Wolf Creek.
We moved up there when my dad worked up there.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, talking about Cordell Carter, when we first bought Holly Creek Boat, the fishing camp, you know, it was called Yates's Camp then. And, of course, there wasn't anything, just a road that ran into the lake. Old man Yates had a couple of boxes and had some cabins up on the hill. We'd been camping out on the lake for about 6 weeks, and he got on to Mom and Daddy to buy that, and I'd be darned if they didn't. And we moved from that tent we was living in on the lake to that one of those first cabins. We never did go back to stay in our house in Salina. But Cordell Carter, what I was going to say, we bought on the left-hand side of the road, Holly Creek Road. Cordell Carter was logging the right-hand side and everything all for several years through there on the other side. And I know Crenn, I always wanted to get in touch with him because see if they'd found any rattlesnakes, because she liked to skin rattlesnakes and stuff. So we talked to Mr. Carter all the time, and then he used to have a houseboat up around the lake.
He did.
And
I spent a little time up there myself.
Yeah,
I know he and Cordell Key.
He, right.
There's no telling how many world record bass that fell victim to them.
Right.
To certain practices.
Well, we'll not talk about that. But... You're right, but they, you know, that was when we were just first getting started because they wasn't a dock or anything there. It's just an old bank with a cable on it, a couple old boats.
And then the houseboats then were built. I know they built theirs out miles and put them on barrels.
And, right. All of them were built on. The docks were all built on barrels and everything. But that's, you know, that's not 1950s when we got it. And just think how long ago that is.
Yep.
70 years. So it's... You know.
Golly, some folks around here are getting...
I know, and I'm not going to tell.
We need to take a little short break.
Okay.
Before we do that, I'm going to read off our birthday for today. We've got a few today. Wish a happy birthday, this guy, to Tommy and Coretta Denton's great-grandson, and I think his first name was Bar Fisher, who was 2 years old on the 18th. You know, it makes you feel kind of old when your classmates have got great, 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 great grandkids. And
right.
It kind of gets your attention.
Right.
But looking on down through our list of birthdays, Miss Paulette Scott celebrated a birthday on the 22nd. And there's something about her being now Social Security eligible or something. Or
awesome.
I don't know about that.
Be quiet about that.
You know, I know last week, Miss... Brown Gore, she had a birthday and didn't want to tell her age, but I said, you know, that she was getting closer to triple digits than she did 76 years ago today. So I didn't tell on her.
No.
But also celebrating a birthday is Amy McLaren Dotson on the 21st. Mr. Trevor Daniels out on P. Ridge celebrating a birthday. Out in the Moss area, Mr. James Moss and David Wilkerson celebrated a birthday. Joey Eads celebrated a birthday. And Brian McLaren celebrated a birthday on the 24th. And also at the same time here, I'd like to do a little quick shout-out, and that is to Will Dobson. Right now, Will is shooting in the National 4-H Sports Shooting match in Grand Island, Nebraska, representing the state. Yes, shotgun. I think he had to do sport shooting, skeet, all of the different ones. And he's there in Nebraska. He's with the Tennessee team.
Yeah.
And I know I haven't heard any results of anything yet, but I do know that he got kind of nervous in the sports shooting because while he was trying to do that, the wind was blowing real hard, and about an 80-car train went by about the time he... He was shooting. I saw the video on that.
You mean they got trains out there?
Well, yeah, they got a train out there.
We don't have a train here.
No. They didn't leave any tracks here when they went through.
No.
Wasn't that what Bud Garrett said? You can't tell which direction the train went by the tracks.
That's exactly right. That's right. You find the tracks. You don't know where they went. Just there.
Let's take a little short break. Come back, and we're going to talk about some things here in and around the courthouse that took place that Murray Lloyd is very close to, and we were all fairly young at the time, but we've got a couple things we want to talk about here in a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Back, everyone. It's once again great to be here with you this morning. And like I said, it's a beautiful morning here in Salina, Tennessee, here at the historic old Clay County Courthouse.
It's not even raining.
No, it's not even raining, and don't look like we're going to get any for a day or two. But we want to warn everybody to be careful about copperheads here in the county. Now, I think we've had a couple of folks that have sustained some. I think Miss Nellie Denton did, but I think she's back home now.
She's back home now.
I know it was pretty serious.
She's one of my good friends.
Oh, I'm telling you what, now that is one amazing lady. We could spend an hour talking about
her. I know it.
I know the things that she did. She still is 96, I believe, gets out.
Yeah, but she's been a...
Get out on her tractor.
Tractor and everything.
And has these big gardens, and I know she gets out and gathers up black walnuts and cracks black walnuts and sells them by the pound.
Right.
And just an amazing lady.
She is an amazing lady. I got to know her real good when I was first started putting the flags out on the graves and everything, because I was by her. Couldn't find some cemeteries. She took me to them.
I mean, but like I said, you know, if you younger folks, if you want to, you know, when she gets recuperated a little bit better, just, you know, sometimes it's great just to go down and sit down on the couch and listen to her and talk about, because, you know, we're looking at nearly a century of experience, and she is, like I said, she was still up, up and doing, sharp as a tack, and so it's so interesting of the things. And I do know, talking to her one of the times, I found out that my grandfather built an old log house.
Let's face it. We are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information.
931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Welcome back, everyone. We don't know what happened. The Ghostbusters had stuck us all at once. We were gone. But, you know, we were talking about a bunch of stuff in that, that happened here in this courthouse, and I was fixing to tell something about kind of an amusing court thing I saw on the docket, and that where they had a couple in here for had been arrested for lewd behavior.
In this county?
And they got it put off for a month.
Yeah.
And when they came back, they had gotten married. So the judge dismissed the case.
Yeah, well, that was a good thing.
Along that line, I know we have one real, real famous, I guess, court case here that a lot of folks here, even our folks here in Clay County, really don't know that much about or haven't even heard of. That affects, you know, our county here in Clay County, and, of course, it's over into Monroe County also. But, Murray Lloyd, I know your family was deeply involved in this.
They were, and that was the Grover Jones case. Well, it was State of Tennessee versus Grover Jones, and it was had to do with the killing of Newt Lee, and which happened, I believe, was 42, 44, somewhere about that when it happened.
39. Back in the late 30s?
I thought it was in the 40s.
It may have been.
It's a long time ago. And he was going across, it was in wintertime, he was going across from his house to his barn, and somebody hit him.
Now, this took place out toward Miles?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Out wherever his farm is,
right.
It's out that way and everything. And they left. Well,
Hit and run.
So, of course, it was wintertime and everything. Of course, that was a big commotion, Mr. Lee getting killed out there and everything. And so, as my daddy used to say laughingly, we couldn't track a elephant in a snowstorm. So they never could find anything that went on, but his son...
Okay, one piece of evidence, right?
What, a piece of the front?
A bumper guard.
Bumper guard, yeah. That was about all they could find and everything. And so his son would keep on finding things. And when later on, as they got on down, this case wasn't tried till the early 60s.
Okay, now... He wrote the book after all this.
Right.
And his name was Welby.
Welby Lee.
He was a lumberman and stuff over in Monroe.
Right, that's where he's from. And he would investigate, and he would find stuff because they couldn't get enough to get on to who it was and everything. So as time went on, he'd get more and more and more and more. And when it got down to coming to trial, Baxter Key was the actual attorney general who was prosecuting, but he got my dad and my brother and granddad, they all sat in on, were helping prosecute that trial. Because I can remember when my dad had, when they finally figured out who they thought it was, this Grover Jones, he was living up in Indiana, but he had connections down here.
Right.
And they got to tracking all of it that he had been here at that time. And I know my dad had to go up to Indiana with the police up there and get information and everything. And it went on for, well, from around 40s all the way to 61. So they got enough evidence to have him indicted. And then he was brought back to Tennessee.
And how many years did it take before he made it? The trial was actually when?
61 or two. It was in 62 or 3, something like
right,
that.
Right, about 63.
Right, because they
it
had...
It took 2 years to get through all the black tape.
Right, right. And then they had two different trials. Because the first trial, as they went along with it and got ready nearly to close it off, Jimmy and Baxter Key had stayed up all night looking through the law books over at the law office, and they found that somebody on the jury was kin or had connections with the defendant. So before court started that next morning, they went to the judge and presented it to him, and he did a mistrial. So then they came back and refiled, went through the whole thing again till they got it till the original trial really ended. And Grover Jones was convicted, and it was a big thing. We've got a couple of pictures of the courtroom during of the... There's one that shows the Baxter Key talking to the jury with part of the judge's stand and everything. And there's a book on this. The book of Webby Lee, after this was all over, wrote this book, It Takes a Worried Mind. Now, these books are very valuable. And if you ever go to an estate sale or anything in this part of the country, look through the books, because I know somebody that bought one for $2.
Yeah.
And you can go on eBay, and they're about 300, I believe, thereabouts. But it's a very interesting story, because nearly everybody that's got one of these books here wouldn't turn it loose. They keep it hid. Actually, I knew my mother had one, but we couldn't find it. I didn't find it till after she died, and it was down in the bottom of her cedar chest with everything piled on it.
I think I've got one somewhere.
Right, and so I've got two copies and everything, but anytime a copy comes around at any other sale, we try to get a hold of it if we can afford it and everything. But it's such an interesting trial and such an interesting book if you've lived here to read it, because as you read it, you know about all these places. When they say they went out the Union Hill Road and did this and went back and forth and where all everybody was, you know about all these places. So it's not like when you read a John Grisham book and it tells about, which is a good story. But when you are in Clay County and you read It Takes a Worried Mind, you can take a map, figure it all out where they were.
And basically what you're following at least a 20-something year trip that this man made in his life to track down basically an unknown hit and run.
Right, his daddy's killer.
His daddy's killer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the information there, and it wasn't easy even to get him extradited down here.
Right.
I think it took more than one effort.
Oh, yeah, it
did.
A bunch
of efforts to even get him extradited down here.
And there is I can't remember if it's Look or Life magazine.
Yeah.
I believe it's the August 63 edition of it does the story in
right.
it. It's the one that's got one that's got Sandy Koufax on the front of it.
Made it highly collectible, and lots of folks saved them. And
but a lot of people saved them because of Sandy Koufax.
Right,
but they didn't know that is in there and everything. So if you ever run across one of them, it's got a synopsis of it and a picture of Grover Jones and a lot of the stuff that went on. But it was national news. It was on that's when Walter Cronkite came.
With a Cub reporter.
With a Cub reporter. And my sister used to tell about, well, he stood out Courthouse Square and said, you know who he was. I'm Walter Cronkite, and I'm reporting from Salina, Tennessee, which is in God knows where, and everything. And
most godforsaken place.
That's what
he said.
I couldn't think what the word
I believe
was.
I have ever
been in, right, uh-huh. But, you know, not many times does Clay County get on the news. It's always something bad, but, you know, whatever. It was just like, I'm going to say this too, when Martin Luther King got killed down in Memphis, first thing I heard, well, we understand that there was a Clay County car involved, but it wasn't. It was just, you know, how things always get, think about that. But Grover Jones' case was just a really big to-do.
And if you go on something like newspapers.com or any of the...
Right.
You will see that this story received not only nationwide, but worldwide attention of the, you know, that this journey that Webley did, right. And also Webley, he was supposedly one of our better marble players.
Oh, was he? Yes, I didn't realize that.
I think he was Jubas Walker's partner.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just you just don't think about things like that in this part of the country, you know, but it just really was. And
he was convicted for involuntary manslaughter.
I can't remember what it was, but it was whatever it was.
It was like 11 months and 29 days.
Something. But, you know, he was convicted.
And that was really all that Webley, I mean, he was looking to, you know, act, you know, wreak his vengeance upon this man.
Right. He just wanted it to be known who did it and they went to trial and everything, so.
During the trial, I mean, they actually finally tracked down some folks that actually visually seen
him. Right.
It took a long time to do that, and I think maybe some of the members of his family even helped with the prosecution on this because, you know, they said, you know, yeah, he was here at Clay County at that time, and he had a card that this bumper guard fit.
Matched and everything,
And like you said, I think, you know, there was a kind of a suspicion in the first trial that it was going to wind up with a hung jury.
Yeah.
Because of...
Yeah, right. Well, the first trial was a hung jury.
Right.
Because somebody had there was some connection with something about a juror on the case. But the thing about it is, several years later after that, Baxter was here. And he came in, he says, "Really, Lord, don't you know the name of that case that we got to do that?" I said, "No, Baxter, you're all the ones that looked it up." They could never remember because that whatever the judge saw and ruled on for the mistrial was done in judge's chambers. Wasn't done out in the open court until they went out and did it. And for some reason, it didn't get... Everything didn't get written down, but that was what it was.
And we haven't been able to find the court records of that trial. We know they exist.
And they got them.
But circuit
court clerks got them.
Well, they say they do, but when you go try to find them.
Oh, Susan had them because she showed them to us.
How long ago?
Oh, in the last 5 years.
Okay, we need to check on that again and get some copies and things done.
Yeah.
Because that it's very, very important.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
Because we're getting to the point now where the members of the jury and things, they're now basically forgotten.
Right. A lot of them are dead. Most of them are dead,
probably. Mm-hmm. Right. And you know, and there in the courthouse, Mary Lloyd, can we, I know, looking up there, let's take a little short break and come
back.
We got another case we're going to talk about a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's a funny case.
We'll be right back in a few minutes.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
We're back. We've gone through and talked about a bunch of stuff while we were here offline, but I know there are just so many interesting stories, so many interesting memories in this building for
Tell the one about, let's start the one about, is that your weight, you know about.
Which one was that?
Mr. McLaren's.
Oh, and the Great Squirrel case.
And the Great Squirrel case.
That your
daddy, my dad,
your dad
took it, cleared the Tennessee Supreme Court and won it. And what it was Cordell McLaren, that farm out here on the road or out miles, wherever it is, and he was squirrel hunting on his place, and he killed a squirrel. Well, the game wardens decided the season wasn't open.
And now, why was the season open?
Why was it not open?
Mm-hmm. That was the hanger that got him. This was one of those years in Clay County when we'd had dry weather.
Oh, okay.
And they had did the game and fish folks. They had a little special thing where they closed the squirrel season. It didn't open until a later date than normal when all the folks went out.
I'd forgot about that.
Prime time squirrel hunting season, it was supposedly closed.
Yeah.
But everybody had been supposedly notified.
they probably all wasn't notified good. But Cordell was on his own farm, and that was one of the things, too.
Yeah.
That was one of the main things. And so they brought him... You know, the game wardens gave him a warrant, whatever they did, to get him in trial.
Give
him a ticket. He had to come to court. Well, they convicted him here.
Was it $49 or something?
At General Sessions. And my dad was representing him. And he said, well, we're going to appeal this thing. So they went to the next court up. He go to circuit court then. And got through, and they convicted him there. He got to the Court of Appeals. He appealed it to the State Court of Appeals, and they upheld. But when he got to the Supreme Court of Tennessee, they said they reversed it, that it was not guilty and everything, because he would, and the two things was, main th- one of the main things was, he was on his own land. If he had been on somebody else's land hunting, that would have been one thing. But he was on his own land hunting. And that case is a reported case in the Tennessee Code Annotated.
Yes, archived.
It's Tennessee Reports,
yeah.
Southwest Second, whichever, where it's
yeah.
in. And it's not ever been reversed or, done away with. So that was always the funniest case over to take a squirrel case all the way to the Tennessee Supreme Court. But that's... That's what you do when you get convicted early and you know you're not.
And I've also talked to some of the folks at Game and Fish about this, and
right.
they're all very familiar with it.
Oh yeah.
Because you know one of the things was that this going all the way back to England, the property owner's right to kill
common law
his land. I think the thing that it really boiled down to was the technicality that finally got the state was that when they changed the season for the squirrel season,
mm-hmm.
that they had to do a public notification of the change of the squirrel
yeah.
season. Well, I think they only put that notification in one place.
Right.
Out here on the wall in the courthouse.
Yeah, and that's not good enough.
Right, and that's what finally they mm-hmm. said, that, hey, if you're going to do something like that and you call it a notification, you have actually got to notify the public
right.
where it's at.
Right, mm-hmm.
And I think, they're all very familiar with that and are very, very careful about when the TWRA does something now that they make sure those notifications are
right.
sufficient.
Well, we didn't have televisions and all that stuff to make that kind of stuff, available. Now we do, but you didn't back then, and everything. But, there's been a lot of murder cases and stuff that's gone on here that used to around election time, things would always get real rowdy here in Clay County. And we had several shootings at the polls and stuff. I know there's one over at Union Hill. You remember about that one? I don't know. Remember all the acts and everything. But there was, and when the one that was tied to the tree out on P Ridge.
Yeah, Mr. Adams.
Johnny Adams. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which never been.
No, we've got pictures of that tree in the highway patrolman stands too. But you know, a lot of people don't even know any of this stuff happened. People that live here now and that have always lived here. But we're having so many new people come in, they have no idea what's going on here.
Sometimes they wonder why we're such funny folk.
That's exactly right. We're not the funny ones, they are. But, you know, this is just a little laid-back country community that's just kind of gone along, maybe not as progressive as we used to. You know, you were talking about Cordell Key with Cordell Carter a while ago. Well, Cordell used to fish all the time out the lake and everything, but not only that, back on his, he owned all what's now the Red Oak out there. And back in the early, I don't remember when it was, it had been 40s, late 40s, early 50s, I guess. They raised all these strawberries out there. And that's when the strawberry plant was down here, which the strawberry plant.
That'd been the late 50s and early 60s.
Yeah, I guess it would have been. Well, it was 60s because when I was out of high school.
Well, I worked.
And I went and picked strawberries out of Cordell's during. I thought it was going to make my living. And we lived close enough we could ride our bicycles out there. And we'd go pick during the morning. But the worst thing about it was when I came back by Mr. Webb's store, I'd stop and get me bologna and stuff. By the time I got home, I didn't have any money. But,
I remember that because that was my first Social Security entrance. All my Social Security report was my job at Breyers in like 61, I guess.
Right, it was. But see, I graduated before you did and everything.
Yeah, you're older than me.
Yeah, I'm older than you there too. And but you know how that went on. But the building that was built for Breyers strawberry plant is where the AC rental
is
now, and that's what a lot of people don't realize, that that's what that originally was built for and used for.
It was a big boost for the county.
Oh, it was. Big boost, money-wise and everything.
And
so,
I know during the strawberry time, but numerous people.
Right.
Lots of ladies went down there and worked.
And
helped sort out the bad strawberries.
Right, Even you worked down there, didn't you?
Yeah.
That was first money you had to put in your pocket.
Yeah, got the rocks out of the basket.
Right. You had to watch that because, you know,
sometimes there'd be a turtle in there.
And you had to be careful in picking because sometimes there's snakes in there too, you know. But, you know, that was a big deal then. But, you know, it lasted so many years and then everything evolves.
Right.
And everything evolves. Then we, you know, in 53 is when Oshkosh came in.
Right.
And everything, and that's where Rayco and Dutchmaster is down there. That's what that was originally built for. And then Duraplex was the washing of the blue jeans and stuff,
right,
which was still part of Oshkosh. But a lot of people don't understand that's what all this stuff was used for, you know, and everything.
I know, and I'm sure you probably have, you know, go online and do a search on the Oshkosh Bagosh Company and how they got started. I think we've all seen the old striped bibbed overalls and the hat they went with.
Right.
That's how they got started making those for the railroads.
Right.
And they branched out into their
shirts and pants.
Finally, wound up making just about everything you wore except maybe your socks.
Right.
Before they had any socks.
And, you know, when they started making little kids stuff, it really went booming and everything.
Well, you know, that is probably... getting into the facts, one of the facts why, you know, Oshkosh left us here, and that was one of the big things, that when the adult market kind of dribbled away a little bit, and they started with the young folks, and they looked at our plant here. I know it was part of a lot of different things, a lot of politics, a lot of everything in the world, but one of the biggest things was what was the amount of money that it was going to take to completely revamp every Oshkosh or garment factory in the South to go from full-size clothing down to children's size clothing.
Well, you know, when, of course, the plant here was the first plant moved out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. But then after it, this one survived, one in Red Boiling. Was there one in Birchtown?
Yeah, I think there were several. Columbia, Kentucky.
There were several.
All around
us. Around us and everything, because they liked the cheap labor that was down here at that time.
Well, they said it was cheap electricity, but it...
Well, it was both. It was both, because it, yes, you know, and everything. And then karate came in.
Right.
And everything. And, you know, it was just fine. But then, you know, as I say, things evolve and
right.
things change. And you've got to be able to change and move up, because that's what happens to you.
You know, and I think a whole lot of it had to do with, you know, and of course, Florida, I don't know what the number one strawberry growing state is now, but lots of the strawberries now do come out of Florida.
Plant City.
And I know that we still have some folks here in, well, in this area that still grow large fields of strawberries.
Amish.
The Amish folks down here,
they
that local sales.
Right, they sell, if you want, can't see them down here with strawberries. That's a good one. It's here on the square.
And I know down at Portland, Tennessee.
Yeah, they have that big strawberry festival
mm-hmm. every year that lasts
mm-hmm.
a couple of days.
Yeah.
And the strawberry industry here in Tennessee was a big
thing
there at
mm-hmm.
one time.
But
like I said, it things like that changed.
Well, at that time, little farmers were doing strawberries, and everybody.
And now,
it's kind of like now. But ones over in Portland are big. I mean,
right.
they do it. I mean,
right.
the same thing had happened to the back in this area.
Right.
Every farmer had a base or whatever you call it on their farm or however how they did it then. And then all at once, they decided that wasn't the way to do it. They were subsidized and all this. And people, I know Macon County has large tobacco holders over there, but nobody, and the tobacco in Clay County was everybody's money crop. And it's kind of like, as some of them said, they'd always see a bunch of men sitting out here on the square late in afternoons. And somebody asked them, said, "What are y'all doing sitting out here?" "Well, we're waiting." And they said, "Well, what are you waiting for?" "Well, we got to go get our wives and take her home, because they'd been farming all morning. They brought them over here and let them work at the factories, and then they'd have to come and get them." So they called them...
The go-getters.
Go-getters, right. They had to go get them.
Which had a little bit different meaning than it does a lot of where the go-getter in most places is the fella that really gets out there and gets with it.
Right. No, that wasn't it. It was that they came, but you know, the farmers worked and raised all the food they needed and everything, and the wives worked at the shirt factories and everything to have the cash money to, you know.
Well, you know, that's something that I think I've said this once or twice before, and that is that enabled the farmer to farm, and at the end of the year, when it come time, normally back in many years, that they had run a tab at the grocery store,
right.
the feed store, and they would take the money from that cash crop.
Right.
And pay off another year.
And
if they had a little bit left over, they'd pay toward the mortgage on the place. Well, Oshkosh enabled them to have that monthly check come
right.
in.
Right.
And they could take the wife's check and make that mortgage payment
right.
all through
That's
the year.
That's exactly right.
And it paid for the farms here in Clay County.
That was exactly right. That's the way it worked and everything. But like we say, that's a thing of the past now, you know. That's just, you know, it's just time. Everything evolves. And just think, the roads, there are better roads coming into here. You know, we got so many trucks. At least we haven't had any trucks go by. We've been good this morning. But, you know, you just can't imagine what's going on. You got to do your birthdays.
Well, we still got a few more minutes.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to run up.
I can remember, too, you know, with the logging industry,
yeah.
being involved with my dad, Cordell Carter, and those folks, my first job was pulling the rope behind the D3 Caterpillar out in the woods.
Right.
But, you know, and then, you know, they had gone through and they had cut, like, the brown place on down the divide, all these different farms
right.
down here, and they had made their cut through there about the time I was, I don't know, 16, 18 years old. And I can remember Cordell, Mr. Carter, lamenting that, "Well, it looks like all the timber in Clay County is gone." And, you know.
They still cutting it.
Right. I mean, it is still here. And
well, you know, this section of Tennessee, through the upper Cumberland and all this, got probably the best hardwood in the country. You know, that's, they say, you know, it's Kentucky, you know, this the mountains in through here and everything.
Well, you wonder now, you know, these logs going through here that are being stockpiled, you wonder how many of them are making them to the docks up in down in Louisiana and up in New York,
right,
to get on those big ships headed to China,
right,
or somewhere or another.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That,
you never know.
Right. And, you know, where they'll finally wind up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, that's big time business here now with the timber, as we know very well.
Oh, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. It's big thing.
And once again, there's very few of the little independent guys, you know, used to.
Right.
If a guy had a couple, three chainsaws and a family to do it, they'd go out and they'd get a bander of timber and
cut
it.
Right, right.
Then somebody come in and haul it. And now they bring it into a central place now and haul it over to
somebody else and everything. And, of course, you know, originally they rafted them down the river.
Right.
And everything. And there wasn't no bridge, so they rafted them to Nashville. They had to walk back.
Yeah, I know. My great-uncle carried back a side hammer 20-gauge long-tom shotgun, Remington, that I still have possession of.
Well,
he carried it back with him from there.
Right. But, you know, this bridge wasn't built till the 30s and stuff, so that was the only way they could get back.
And, you know, they just really couldn't see any. Well, they could get back, but it'd take most of what they made.
Right.
To ride a steamboat back
home. Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So they said, I think I can walk.
Well, they could probably walk better because the steamboat could only come up when the water was high.
Yeah.
You know, and everything.
But times, they are changing.
Times have changed, right.
And if you're going to, you got to adapt and change with them, Henry.
That's exactly right. And you want, if you have a time, come, and the courthouse is open, come in. We have these panels in here that kind of tell the history in the halls of Clay County. It would behoove you to come and read these things because they show different areas and everything.
Right.
And
okay, we're getting about time for the birthdays now, I guess.
Okay.
What we're going to do today, we're really going to get complicated today. We've got about 7 entries on here, and I'm going to ask you to give me a number between 1 and 7.
3.
Number 3. It looks like Amy Dodson.
Okay.
You know, I did that once. I've told us a number of times before. We had like 8 or 9 here, and I said, would you give me a number between 1 and 9 here? What's it? 12. But, folks, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
I hope the folks here have enjoyed us this morning talking a little bit. Sometimes it's just great to sit down and
talk,
reminisce
back,
and talk about things. I know we have lots of folks here.
I'm of the older age because I'm a few years older than Thomas. And it's getting where there's not as many of us.
No, we're thinning down a little bit. And and we have lots, like I said, lots of new folks moving in, and we're glad to have you moving in. But just remember one thing. There was a reason why you left where you were at and why you're coming here.
Right.
So don't try to make here what you left there.
Right.
Leave it alone and be proud of what Clay County is.
Right.
Don't worry so much about trying to make it look like where you came from.
Right, because it won't look like where you came from. We don't want it to look like that. It looks like Clay County.
That's the way we want to keep it.
Right.
And we want you to establish your family here. And sometime many years later, maybe somebody will be sitting here talking about
us.
But with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time we've got everything shut down here. I think everything's put back basically where it belongs. And I want to remind everyone that we're still, of course, working on our windows, and we'll have those things done sometime before long. And we still got our Adopt-A-Window program that we're going to do a little heavy publicity on a little bit later on. And our car show in September, coming up September the 25th, got some great sponsors. We're going to have trophies, live music, maybe food vendors, kind of make just a one-day car show celebration down at the newly acquired Donaldson Park, Salina, City of Salina.
Well, good. And then on August 7th, we've got the Clay County Museum Festival, so just put that on your calendar so you all won't miss anything.
And with that, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you again here next week on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And until then, good day, Clay County.